5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Clouds in this morning, maybe a sprinkle of rain shower, otherwise sunshine after the clouds pass. Mid to late morning, beautiful. A nice afternoon at 83. Comfortable night tonight, upper 50s. Clear sky, sun with a few clouds tomorrow in the afternoon. Maybe a passing shower, thunderstorm. Rain not widespread on your Friday. 79.
We have the pleasure of also being joined this morning by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, who we know and love here on Mornings on the Mall. And Colonel Schaefer, you're joining us at a good time to discuss all of these various subpoenas that are coming out of the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, creating quite a stir. Some of them directed at people within the Trump orbit, but importantly, it seems the House Intel Committee is also requesting information from the various intelligence agencies about who exactly within the Obama administration was doing all of this unmasking. What did you make of that?
Right, Vince. Well, good morning, Vince and Marion. Yeah, the good news here, if any, is I didn't get one. So that's good for me. I mean,
do you feel left out?
That's right. That's dodging a bullet. But no, seriously, look, there's a lot of folks on the inside, I think, Vince, that were heavily involved in the unmasking. Statistically, it's shown now that that they had more FISA activity the last year of the Obama administration than ever before in the history of FISA. So I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And as much as I've seen Susan Rice and others protest that there was no quote-unquote illegal unmasking, they don't deny the fact it happened. And I think this is where they have to figure out three questions. First, who all was unmasked? You got to just get the list of names so you exactly know what it is. And that's going to tell you, just by the nature of who these people are, what they were looking at, and then that's the next thing you have to do. Who exactly authorized the unmasking regarding these individuals? What was the legal statute or regulation that allowed them to do it? And then, most importantly, who above them authorized, who directed it? I don't believe for a minute that this will not go back up to somewhere near the president, and I do believe that that Valerie Jarrett and Ben Rhodes and those other folks up there who were advising the president were heavily involved. And as I said in an interview with Lou Dobbs, I think night before last, that what you're seeing here is the president was using the power of a nation state to look inside at his political enemies rather than looking outside at our foreign enemies. And I think that's what we're finding now. And I think when we go through all this, end of the day, I think we're going to be very, very frightened with the amount of abuse that was going on.
So you mentioned Ben Rhodes and Valerie Jarrett as being right. People who may have been involved in this. So far, there's no evidence that they've been subpoenaed yet by the House Intelligence Committee, but people who have been include Susan Rice, former CIA Director John Brennan, and interestingly, United Nations Ambassador Samantha Power. What do you make of Samantha Power's inclusion in this, especially because the UN ambassador, as far as I can tell, should have no role in unmasking the names of U.S. citizens?
Precisely, and that tells you kind of a direction of where this is going. I think she was amongst a number of, I would term them as political insiders, not only people who actually gave the president advice, but people who are involved in his political agenda. And so that's a huge clue that is going in that direction. And I think once you get the answers, it's going to be tough to get the answers to these subpoenas, but once you get those answers, then you look at a secondary round of subpoenas after that. But yeah, and John Brennan, look, there's no surprise there with John Brennan. John Brennan, I believe, was one of the key elements of the Obama administration, using all the different mechanisms of intelligence behind the scenes. And I've talked to a lot of folks who have dealt with John over the years, and I don't believe for a minute that John is anything but self-absorbed, focused on his own career. So I think he was doing everything he could politically to benefit the president based on his own self-promotion. So I think there's going to be some issues there when they find out what he did.
Yeah, and these three subpoenas relating to this unmasking were directed to the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI. Mm-hmm. And the House committee has claimed that the NSA has been cooperative, but the CIA and the FBI have been slow to respond, so that's why they had to subpoena them. Now, there is nothing that forces them to comply with this subpoena, correct?
Well, there are enforcement mechanisms. I'm not sure how far they're willing to go, Mary. I mean, that's one of those things here. Look, I was once in an investigation where the FBI was getting ready to arrest senior members of CIA in a foreign environment if they weren't going to cooperate. So it's one of those things is how far are you willing to go? And there are agencies within the government who can arrest other agencies. It's kind of a spy versus spy thing. I mean, this is not the first time I've seen this, and literally I've been involved before. So it really becomes, as we've talked about a number of times, a matter of political will. How far are you willing to go?
How far do you think they're willing to go?
Yeah. Well, look, I'd like to believe they're willing to go all the way. You know, if for those fans of a film, there's a great scene in Apocalypse Now, and it talks about don't get off the boat unless you're willing to go all the way. And I think in this case, they better be prepared to go all the way because you need to unravel this because this is as big as Watergate. We're talking about wholesale spying on American citizens for political purposes. This makes Watergate look like a bathtub in the middle of the Atlantic. So this is something that I think that needs to be done. And frankly, there are levers of government that can be used to force the compliance. And that's I can't get into all that at this point, mm-hmm. but there's ways of doing it.
James Comey now cleared to testify as well. We're expecting to hear from him as early as next week. What do you think we're going to hear from James Comey? And will the fact that Robert Mueller is now involved going to preclude James Comey from saying anything interesting, do you think?
Oh, Vince, I've looked at the timeline first off about the whole allegation of when the president supposedly said he tried to intimidate him. It doesn't really match up because, previous to the time supposedly this meeting happened, Comey had already announced that Mike Flynn was not going to be targeted. You know, he was cleared or whatever. So it just seems to me that the whole idea that the president would say something to Comey about dropping an investigation, which Comey already said he dropped an investigation, just doesn't seem to add up. Secondly, I think it's going to be like every other time we've had one of these big name former members of the Obama administration show up. There's big fanfare and then a big goose egg at the end of the day. I just don't see anything new here other than Comey trying to basically self-promote, trying to, basically recover his own reputation. So I just don't think there's much there.
Right. And he was prior asked about whether or not political pressure was ever exerted on him. And
correct.
He said no. He said never happened. I can't think of a time that's happened. And even his own note taking suggests that the president never made a direct request. I mean, in journalism, we talk about things in active voice. There was no active voice request to James Comey to do this. He just said things like, I hope you can see your way clear on this.
Well, and the other thing, as Vince, I think we talked about this the other day a little bit. When I take over an organization, I always ask people, what's your loyalty going to be? Are you going to work for me? Or are you going to work for the previous guy? And I think President Trump probably brought that up to him, saying, hey, Mr. Comey, who are you going to be loyal to here? And I think that's a reasonable question to the president to ask of anybody who's going to be remaining from the Obama administration under his administration.
I think
may have happened.
And I think ultimately this Comey showing up again. Right now, people think, oh, Trump has to answer all these questions. I think more so than anybody, Comey has to answer questions right now in public because he's created a lot of chaos and he's going to have to answer for that. And I hope Republicans are actually tough in their questioning when he gets before their committee soon.
And I've talked to a couple of them who are willing to hold him accountable for basically making false statements under oath. I think they'd be willing to go all the way on that.
That would be interesting if they actually get him on that.
Exciting times. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend.
Right, thanks, Mary.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.